Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 11. 2 Kings, chapter 11. We're going to read verses 20 and 21, but we'll also read chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. We'll read this passage responsively. 2 Kings 11, verse 20, through 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 2. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet. And they slew Athaliah with a sword beside the king's house. 7 years old was Jehoash when he began to reign. In the seventh year of Jehu, Jehoash began to reign, and 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Zebiah of Beersheba. And Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all the days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. And let's pray. Father, thank you again so much for what you do for us here in this church. You sure are a wonderful God. And Lord, as we've looked around our globe this week to the needs of the lost people who have not yet heard the gospel, tonight our preacher will preach to us to reach Jerusalem, our area. Father, please fill our preacher with your power. Change us. May we have an open heart. May our minds be focused on thee, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This evening, I am actually going to allow the whole church to be a part of the start of what we're calling Martinsburg Christian Academy Revival. Tomorrow morning, or this evening, we start a little revival for our sixth grade and up in our school. So for the next 3 days, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, we'll be having this revival. Our Bible class that meets every morning, we'll have a challenge, a teaching from the Bible, and then there will be a prayer meeting time where the young people will spend time praying. Our chapel at 9:45 will have preaching, helping young people to get their hearts right with God or to stay right with God. Parents and anybody from the church, listen to this very carefully. At 9:45 this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday morning, Brother Bajent will be here in the auditorium to meet any parent that would like to come and pray at this altar for the young people while the preaching is going on over in their chapel service. I would like people all over this auditorium on their faces praying that our young people either get right with God or stay right with God. Adults, parents, it doesn't matter who, if you want to come to this auditorium tomorrow at 9:45, Brother Bajan will host and conduct a prayer meeting that we might pray while the preaching is going on in the youth revival over in mobile unit number 4. I'm asking parents, some of you parents have come to me and say, what do I do with my children? I'm asking you to fast and pray. You fast and pray in the next 3 days. Do away with the meal and you ask your God to work in your child's heart. On Tuesday, the last hour of the day at our school, young people will assemble, and there's a lot of study halls and things at that time. They're going to assemble that day, and we've got a couple of folks that are going to give testimonies about what God has done in their life and through their teenage years. Each day I'm going to give each one of those teenagers a different preaching CD that I have preached that we felt like would help them. They'll get one on Monday, they'll get one on Tuesday, they'll get one on Wednesday. If they take them home and they listen to all three of them, then we're going to give them, as a gift, a copy of all the youth revival sermons that we'll put on CD, the one of tonight, all three that will be preached this week. Then Thursday and Friday, of course, we have our Spirit Week to kick off our basketball tournament. I would like to go into it being spiritual. I would like to go into it on topside. This evening, I want to preach a sermon to you that I've entitled A Revival Started by a Youth. A revival started by a teenager, if you will. The story that we read earlier, let me bring you up to date a little bit. Ahaziah was the king of Judah. He was a wicked king and had led the country into worshiping false gods. He's put to death by a man named Jehu. Ahaziah's mother was a gal by the name of Athaliah. She wanted the king's power. The power of the king would naturally fall to the king's sons or the oldest son of the king. Now, Athaliah, the mother of the now dead king, she goes out and has all of her grandsons murdered so that she can take over power. But a woman by the name of Jehosheba, stole one of Ahaziah's boys, one of her grandsons, a boy by the name of Jehoash. She steals him away. This lady takes this boy and hides him. He had a nurse that would have attended to him, and she hides her nurse. She hid them in one of the most obvious places, Athaliah, this rich woman. She owned all sorts of property, and when this woman hides this one grandson, she hides him away at Athaliah's house, kind of hiding it right under grandma's nose. But Athaliah, this wicked woman, has all of her grandchildren killed. But there's one that was missing. That was Jehoash. Athaliah did become the queen. She ruled this country for 6 years. This woman was more wicked than her dead son. Here, I mean, just look at it. She's a grandbaby killer. What kind of a woman slaughters her grandbabies because she wants power? Any grandmother that doesn't want her children to be holy, you're like Athaliah. Oh, how it doesn't get much more wicked than that. I've watched the love of grandparents. It's fun. This grandparent thing is just the pickles. I mean, it's the berries. I love it. Any grandparent that wouldn't want their grandchildren to be right with God and be blessed of God's got problems. Well, this woman takes over. She runs the kingdom for 6 years. The man of God for this period of time was a man by the name of Jehoiada. Now, he knew the true king had been hidden away. This one boy, the grandson that had been hidden away, the man of God knew about it. When the young man Joash was about 7 years old, the man of God said, I think it's time to bring this boy out of hiding. One day when Queen Athaliah was sitting on her throne, I think the way you say this man of God's name is Jehoiada. When Jehoiada knew that it was time, he's getting ready to bring this boy out of hiding, the wicked queen is sitting on her throne, and Jehoiada makes his move. The man of God calls all the captains of the army to the house of God and instructs them about protecting the king they're about to reveal. He told them to draw their swords. He surrounded the altar and built a human wall and a human force field because he is about to lift this king up and let everybody know Athaliah had not destroyed the true king. There was a circle of protection about this young man. He would reveal the real king out of his hiding place. He would put the king in the middle of that circle of all those captains, and anybody that would try to approach that young man would be killed for trying to hurt the true king. Jehoiada brought forth young Jehoash. They put the king's crown on him. They swore him in, if you will. The man of God anointed him with oil. That anointing pictured the Holy Spirit of God resting upon his life. The Bible says they all clapped. They all shouted, God save the king. The cheering was so loud it could be heard all over the city. Remembering, this poor city had been through it. A wicked king that had led them into idol worship is killed, and then his mother sacrifices and massacres her own grandbabies and takes over. What a wicked rule. What a wicked mess this place is in. Now suddenly, the man of God says, we need a young man to rise up, and we need somebody to make something happen around here to get this mess straightened out. And now they crown him, and there's cheering going on. But don't forget, old wicked queen Athaliah, she was sitting on her throne. Athaliah hears the sound of God bless the king and honor the king and the clapping. She runs to the temple to see the young king. Realizing what had happened, this band of army men all around him, and the little king being lifted up by the man of God, she yells, treason! Treason! That's just what some of those soldiers were waiting to hear the old long-tongued Jezebel say. Because she took off running. She fled out of the temple and was put to death by sword by one of the captains. They took the young king from God's house and brought him to his true throne and the true house that belonged to him. Immediately this young king, with the help of the man of God, led a revival in the land. True story. A young man that starts a revival in an entire country. Let me show you some things about this story, and I'll show you some things about how a young man, one young person, sparked a revival that changed an entire country. First of all, let me tell you this. He led a spiritual revival during his teenage years. Listen to this. 2 Kings chapter 12, verse number 1, the Bible says this. In the seventh year of Jehu, Joash began to reign. And 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Ziba of Beersheba. Now, understand this. It says here, he began to reign at age 7. And he did indeed begin at age 7 to reign. He reigned for the next 40 years of his life. The Bible says this about him. It says in 2 Kings 12:2, and Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all his days wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. This means he was a godly king when he was, he took over at 7, but let me explain. This young man led a revival in his country when he was 11, and when he was 12, and when he was 13, and when he was 14. Hey, you listen to me. The most difficult years probably for a human being to go through are those years between 11 and 18 or 19 years of age. This young man was the king of a country leading a revival. He was leading the adults. He was leading a revival when he was 14 years old, when he was 15 years old, when he was 16 years old, when he was 17 years old, when he was 18 years old, when he was 19 years old. See, he did not have a rebellious series of years through his teen years. He was busy leading a revival. He was too busy with the revival in his life to mess up his life. He was a serious Christian as a teenager. See, it wasn't all just fun and games. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we will die. He was not just, he wasn't the school clown or jester causing problems. He maturely loved God, and his behavior proved it. Get it? It says all the years that he listened to Jehoiada, there was revival. Understand, 40 years. But in those 40 years are his teenage years, from 11 through 19. He was not only a teen leading teens, he was a teen leading the adults of the country, because the depth of his commitment to God was amazing. This is a young man that was above and beyond the others. This was a young man that said, I want to be different. I want to make a difference. I want to change my country. Young people, as you sit there and you wonder what God intended for you to do with your life, He didn't intend for you to rebel it away. He did not intend for you to waste your life away. God gave you a life. Hey, God wants you to help change America. God wants you to help change our church. God wants you to help change Berkeley County. God didn't intend for you to waste your life. Here's a young man that God brings up, and he says, young man, I want to use you. Hey, it was a young man that God chose to use. You see, he led a spiritual revival in his teenage years. Parents, don't you get this idea that it is expected that teenagers are going to rebel? Hey, they may do it, and a lot do, but they don't have to. You can be right with God when you're a teenager. You can love God when you're a teenager. You can serve God when you're a teenager. You can say no to the wrong crowd. That is very, very true. It's very true. So number one, he led a spiritual revival in his teenage years. Number two, he led the people around him to understand that they were God's people. Listen to this verse. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse 17, it says, and Jehoiada made a covenant between the Lord and the king and the people that they should be the Lord's people. You know what happened? The preacher said, young man, we're going to go to the people and let's let the people through your leadership know we belong to God. You belong to God. I belong to God. We belong to God. You know, notice it says that they should be the Lord's people. This young man stood up. He stood up among his peers. He stood up among the adults. He stood up among his country, and he said, I want it to be known. I belong to God. I'm God's child. I'm God's teenager, if you will. He said, we're Christians. Now let's act like it. That's what he's saying here. He said, I belong to God. You know what would do some of you young people good? Just let it be known. You belong to God. I am God's teenager. I am God's child, and I'm going to behave like it. That would do you good. He led his peers to do the same thing. A revival breaks out over this whole land. Why? Because a young man stood up and said, I belong to God, and I'm going to act like it. Take a stand. Let it be known that you are a Christian, not only in name, but in deed. Stand up to the people that don't want to obey God, and you say, I'm going to obey God.
He said, well, the ones wonder if I'm the only one. Then maybe you'll have a chance to show some guts. Yeah, just somebody to hold your hand to do everything. I've got news for you. You're getting ready to launch out into the big world where the big dogs play. It takes a little bit of courage to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, and I'm not going to live that way, and I'm not going to do that. You've got to learn to do that. And parents, you need to teach your kids a little bit of courage. Get them a little bit of courage. He led those people. He led them as a teenager. He and the man of God stood together and said, we are God's, and this people are God's, and we need to let it be known. Number three, there's something else that I see. He led the people to tear down the false gods in their lives. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 18, it says, and all the people of the land went into the house of Baal and break it down, his altars and his images, and break they in pieces thoroughly. Thoroughly. Said, we did house cleaning. Thoroughly. We got it all out. We didn't just get out a little bit of the surface stuff. We got it all out of there. This young man, they went down to the churches that were worshiping the false gods, and this young man walked in down there and said, tear it down. Burn it. We're not going to serve these false gods. We're going to get this junk out of our country. We're going to get this junk out of our lives. See, by example, he led them. He led them to get anything out of their lives that would keep them from being right with God. They smashed the trash of their life. There's some of you, you need to smash some trash in your life. They thoroughly tore to pieces the wickedness in their life, whether it was wicked CDs or wicked DVDs or books or video games of an evil influence. Maybe these things, I don't know. I don't know what all it was, but the Bible clearly teaches that this young man, who was a king in his teenage years, stood up and he said, I'm a Christian. I'm going to live like one. I'm going to lead my peers the same way. And what we're going to do is we're going to have a house cleaning. We're going to get right with God. We're going to throw away the trash that is pulling our country down and pulling my friends down. And I'm going to be a part of it. And I'm going to lead it. And I'm going to stand up, even if I have to do it by myself. Even if I have to do it by myself, I will do that. And just so you know, it takes a whole lot of guts and a gallon of God to do something like that. And God will help you. Let me show you something else. He led them to tear down the false gods in their life. Number four, he led them to separate from the wrong influences. You'll never have revival running with the wrong crowd. Revival and rebellious friends never go together. Never do. Some of you adults need to remember that. The reason you have no revival in your life, usually it's because of the crowds you're running with. The crowds you're running with. He led them to separate from the wrong influences. Let me show it to you. 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 20, the same passage from which we've been working. It says, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was in quiet, and they slew Athaliah with the sword beside the king's house. First of all, you see there's some separation taking place. We had to get rid of something. There was separation from Athaliah and her wickedness and her vileness. They got rid of the wicked queen. Then the Bible says they got rid of some prophets. They got rid of some people that had been hanging around the temple. You know what temple? It was that temple where all the trash was. You see, are you hanging around with people that have all sorts of trash in their life? The Bible says there's a man by the name of Matan. He was a very wicked influence. And they ran him out of the temple. Why? They knew there was not going to be revival unless there was separation from the wrong crowd. Revival includes separation from the rebellious. Teens, for some of you, it's time to change crowds. Let's do this, young people. Let me tell you how it'll work. Let's whittle down the crowd of the rebellious ones so there's just a few stragglers. Let's pull together like a mighty army and say, we want to have revival. We want to be right with God. There's strength in numbers. There's strength in numbers. You're better off alone than with the wrong crowd. Walk alone if you must. Walk alone. Jesus died alone. Jesus was resurrected alone. You can walk alone if you have to. Young people, you've got to learn not to be cowardly. You've got to learn to take a stand. You've got to learn, even if you must do it on your own, to take a stand. I know there's so many young people, they look up here at the preacher. They watch him walk around and preach and stomp and snort and say all sorts of things with boldness. Let me tell you something. It's not always easy for me. There are people, you don't know it, there are people in this room, they don't like me tonight. They don't like me. Why? Because of what I preach and what I say. But I'm not going to back off. I'm not going to shut up. I'm not going to be shut down. I don't work for you. I work for God. I'm not changing. I'm not changing it. I'm going to scream. I'm going to shout at the top of my lungs for purity and holiness and goodness and right. I will fight the rebellion. I'm going to do it. You say, but oh, that sounds so exciting. It's not always exciting. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes my heart is broken. And sometimes I'm very lonely. I'm very lonely. But I've got a haven. If nobody likes it, I've got a God that likes it. And you need to decide you're going to do what's right no matter what everybody else does. There are people in here that need to say to some friend, if that friend doesn't get right with God, you need to say, I love you, but our time together is now going to be very limited. Hey, guess what? When this happened, number five, his peers then rejoiced at the revival. Listen, 2 Kings chapter 11, verse number 20. And all the people of the land rejoiced. Wow. Wow. While everybody was psyching each other out with their rebellion, hiding, sneaking, lying to mom and dad, when somehow they thought that there were a lot that agreed. There were not a lot that agreed. They just needed somebody with some backbone to stand up and say, I disagree. And then some of the others said, well, we disagree too, and it's time for somebody to do something about this. That's exactly what happened. And when this young man stood up and said, we're cleaning house. I'm getting right with God. I'm going to get some trash out of my life. I want to lead the people. I'm a Christian. I belong to God. I don't want rebellion in my life. I don't want rebellion in our country. And a bunch of others said, you know what? Yeah, come on. We'll go with you. The good people rejoiced when folks got right with God. They did not mock. They did not tease. They did not hinder them. The good people cheered, and they rejoiced. The adults clapped their hands in support for a young man, a teenager, that was leading a revival. The man of God lifted this young hero up and said, that young man right there, that young man right there is obeying God and obeying the word of God and listening to the advice of the old preacher named Jehoiada, and a revival broke out, and they clapped. His peers were impressed with his spiritual example. His peers said, wow, he got guts. He's got backbone. I'm going to tell you something, young people. When you take a stand, there will be some evil people that will turn around and stab you in the back and talk bad about you. But I'll tell you, they respect you when you stand up for right, because that's something they've not figured out the courage to do. You got them. You're one up on them. Let me tell you why they would attack you, because you're one up on them. You're right. They're wrong. Let's see if we can whittle you down. You just stick with God. You do right. See, suddenly in this case, the evildoers were outnumbered by the good doers. They're strengthened, those numbers. You see, in this revival, what took place is this. We see, first of all, this young man. He leads a spiritual revival in his teenage years. He leads the people around him to stand up and say, we belong to God. We're going to live for him. He leads the people to tear down the false gods in their lives and to clean house. He leads them to separate from the wrong influences. His peers and the adults and the people around begin to rejoice and clap their hands and say, thank God for that young man that got right with God. Thank God for that young lady that got right with God. Thank God for that teenager that had courage. It didn't matter to them if somebody laughed at them or mocked them. They want to serve God. And everybody was cheering for those. Number six, the Bible says he listened to the preacher and his spiritual leaders. 2 Kings 12:2, it says this, and Jehoash did that which was right in the sight of the Lord all of his days, wherein Jehoiada the priest instructed him. As long as he was doing what the preacher was telling him to do from the word of God, this young man stayed strong. He stayed strong. Some of you that you feel, Brother Owens, I don't know if I can make it. I don't know if I can take it. You just keep doing right. You keep obeying the preaching going on from this pulpit. You're going to make it through this. You say, I feel a little bit overwhelmed. I've got some friends teasing me. I've got some friends mocking me. The peer pressure's on. You hang in there, baby. You can do this. You can do this. Hey, that young man there did it. David did it. There were others that did it. You can do it. You hang in there if you feel outnumbered. You hang in there if you feel belittled. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. You can do it. As long as he listened to the preacher, as long as he listened to the word of God, that young man went on and led that revival. He is the man of God instructed. This teen obeyed the preaching. He didn't roll his eyes at the preaching. He obeyed it. He didn't glare at the preacher with hatred while the preacher preached to him. When I look at you, teenager, and you glare at me as if you're mad and you could throw darts at me, in God's eyes, you are. You'll hurt yourself by doing that. You'll hurt yourself by doing that. And let me tell you something, young people. This young man obeyed the preaching, and God used him to turn a country upside down. He did not have to wait until he was 20 or 25 or 30 or 35. He started as a very young man. He stepped up with courage and said, I'm in. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to do right. And a whole bunch of people said, well, let's go with this guy. Let's go with this guy. He's got courage. He's got backbone. He's got guts. He's got intestinal fortitude. Hey, he's like Daniel that could be thrown to the lions. Hey, he's like Gideon that can stand. Hey, he's like David that can fight Goliath. What a man! What? But look, he's a teenager. Call him a man? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you don't have to be 21 to be a man. You just got to have backbone, boy. That's all it takes. Young lady, you don't have to be 21 to be a true adult lady. You just start acting like a lady when you're a teenager and stand for God. You'll mature. God will give you strength, and God will honor you for it. You see, he listened to the preacher and his spiritual leaders, and the Bible says that he succeeded because of it. I'm asking the teenagers in this church to allow God to control and to correct your life. Stay on fire for God, those of you that are. Get on fire, those of you that are not. Whatever you do, don't you be one of those that are putting the fire out. Nope. Now, young people, listen to me. If you're out to hurt our church or hurt our youth department, you'll have to contend with me personally. Because I will protect the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I will protect the Martinsburg Christian Academy. Now, listen. I think everybody here knows I mean it. I'll stand. I'll stand with the help of the church, or I'll stand without it. But I think a lot of people say, amen, preacher. Amen. We want to protect our kids. We don't want them listening to the bad music. We don't want them running around or hopping all over the place like a bunch of animals. We don't want that. That's not the testimony we want for Martinsburg Christian Academy. That's not the testimony we want for Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. That's not what we want. We don't want bad boys influencing our good girls. We don't want bad girls influencing our good boys. Somebody's got to take a stand. And young people, I'm asking you to be the one. You! Listen, he was right with his mom, by the way. Point number 7, he was right with his mom. The Bible says in 2 Kings 12:1, it says, 7th year of Jehu, Joash began to reign. 40 years reigned he in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Zibiah of Beersheba. Now remember, his dad's dead. His dad was killed. His mother is alive. I wonder why God threw her name in here. I'll tell you why. To tell us that he had an ongoing relationship with his mom was right there. His mom was right there. I believe his mom was a part of the revival. How could he get credit for doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord if he didn't have a good relationship with his parents? Bible says, children, honor thy father and thy mother. Bible says we're to obey our parents. This young man was right with his mama. And those of you that are not right with God, I can almost guarantee you, you're not right with your parents. Some of you are liars to your parents. You're liars to your parents. Some of you have your parents fooled. They don't really know what you're up to. But I'll tell you this. If you want to have revival, a part of revival always includes getting right with mama and daddy. Some of you have moms and dads that love you, that want you to be pure and honest and decent. They want to salvage your life. They want your life to be good and wholesome and decent. And you're fighting them tooth and nail. I know parents that come to me and say, preacher, I do not know what to do. I cannot control him. He will not listen to me. He is bound and determined to destroy his life. You say, preacher, I can do what I want. Yeah, we know. We're just doing everything we can to hedge you off. And you will live to regret it. The minute the devil sucker punches you and screws your life up, you're going to look back and say, what in the world was I thinking? Some of you are as blind as a bat right now. You're going off the deep end doing a lot of things that you should not be doing, and you think you got a school. Look, buddy, You're not fooling very many people. There's some of you walk around here with a sour look on your face. Everybody knows. It's written all over you. Maybe you better take a good long look in the mirror and look at that sour puss that you have. Look at how sour your look is. Look at how you look during the preaching when we're singing about the love of God and the joy of God. You see, he got right with his mama. If he wasn't right with her, he got right with her, but I've got a feeling he was right with her. I believe this mom was right with the Lord, and I think she backed the revival. I think she was a part of it. She was not a spectator. She was a participator. Had a parent come to me recently. And then, to be honest, and I'll never tell you in a million years who, but I had a parent come to me. I was a little fearful that that parent might make some bad decisions in life. That parent came to me, and we began to talk, and they said, "Well, I don't want to make any bad decisions. I want to do what's right. And I've made some decisions, and I decided this." And I said, "Well, praise God." And I said, "I decided this." I said, "Boy, I appreciate that." And they said, "I decided this." And I'm going to tell you something. I sat there, and my heart began to leap for joy. Why? Because that parent has a teenage child, and that child was watching every decision that parent made. That child came to me and said, "Brother Owens, my mama, she's experiencing a revival in her life, and I'm so excited. You probably saved your baby's life." I believe mom was in on this thing. I believe there was a good relationship between this young man and his mom. You know what? Let me tell you what stops a revival. Let me tell you what it is. What'll stop a revival? Parents. That's point number one. Parents. They let their kids do what their kids want, go where they want, and just expect they're going to do right. They let their kids break the rules. And then the kids are mad at us when they get punished for breaking the rules that mom and dad let them break. Parents that give up, they just throw in the towel and say, "I've fought with him. I've fought with her. I've told him how it's going to be. Just do what you want. I give up. I can't take the battle anymore." Mom and dad, don't give up. Don't give up. Try again. Hey, if it's right, it's right. If it's right, it's right. What happens? What stops a revival? Parents. They have no idea what their teenagers are up to. None. None. Really won't look at their young person seriously. Really won't look and say, "There's a problem right there. It's everybody else, isn't it? It's the school. It's the other kids in the youth department. It's those kids. You know, it's this weak-kneed Christianity that we have around here." Parents. Parents, you're more apt to have a revival for your kids if you have a revival in your childbearing. Amen. Don't give up now. What ruins a revival? What would keep a revival from coming? Bad friendships. Bad friendships produce bad attitudes. Bad friendships produce bad habits. Some of you need to say no to your so-called friends. I'm not saying don't be friendly. I'm just saying don't be best friends. You need to change some of your associations. What stops a revival? No salvation. I believe once you're saved, you're always saved. I believe if you ever trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're saved for eternity. But can I tell you something? I'm thinking of a young person right now. If you could lose your salvation, I'd speculate you had. You can't. And I don't go around doubting people's salvation. But you're going to have to work me over pretty good to convince me that you're saved. You're a perpetual rebel for years. Now, the way you live does not prove your salvation, but let me tell you something. The Bible teaches that if you are living in sin and you're saved, you'd be miserable, not happy about it. What'll ruin? What'll stop a revival? No salvation. Hey, lost people in a Christian school will destroy a Christian school. It's called a Christian school. Did that term slip past you? Lost people in a Christian school or a youth group of saved people will poison that youth department. If you're here tonight, young people, and you're not saved, my recommendation is that you get yourself born again. Stop playing and get saved. What will stop a revival like the one that was experienced here? Parents could. Bad friendships could. No salvation could. Boyfriends and girlfriends could.
All I'm going to do is very kindly and very tenderly say to some parents, and you listen to me, you've got pregnancy out of wedlock on its way. Are you listening? Listen to a man that loves you. Please, I beg of you. I will go through it with you when she ends up pregnant out of wedlock. I will go through it with you when your son does not know what to do. But I know what I see. Pregnancy out of wedlock. I'm not even mad. I'm scared for you. I'm scared to death for some of you girls. I do not want you to go through that. You're going to be embarrassed. It's going to mess up your life. You take it down. You let it be a bit of modern day prophecy. It's on its way. And so you know, church, when it happens, you're looking at the first guy that will fight for those kids to salvage their lives. But tonight, I'm fighting to keep it from happening. Bad attitudes. If your boyfriend or your girlfriend causes contention between you and your mom and dad, there's a problem. The music. Music stops revival, or good music sparks revival. Parents, I'm telling you again, they're listening to bad music. The attitude is the evidence. You don't believe me, but I'm just telling you. Wake up and smell the coffee. Hollywood destroys a revival. There's way too much television pumped into the brains of our young people. And parents, before you climb all over our school teachers about your kids' grades, you figure out how many hours they're spending on video games, how much time they're listening to their bad music, how much time they're on the television set, and then let's see if we can figure out why they still can't spell as 10th graders. I know all the teachers are idiots and your child's right. Amen, Brother Davis? It's always the teacher's fault. Everybody needs to take a breath. You're all right. I didn't have a joke to insert in here. I usually put a joke when I need to relax the crowd because there are people that will mess themselves if I'm not careful. The internet. Listen to this. 12% of the total internet is now pornography. That's about 140, that's 420 million web pages. Parents, listen to me, look right at me, and listen. You have kids that are on the internet looking at pornography. I've not caught them yet, he's not caught them yet, and you may not have, but I am guaranteeing it. And let the Holy Spirit convict you, young man. You say, it's fun. I want to tell you something. You're ruining your future marriage. You'll never be satisfied. The devil is stealing from you today what you could have enjoyed tomorrow. The average age for first internet exposure to pornography is age 11. By the way, I got these facts from the Christian Law Association. They just produced them. 9 through 16-year-olds have viewed online pornography. 90% of them, they say, has viewed it. 15 to 17-year-olds are having multiple exposures to hardcore. 80% of them, multiple exposures, over and over and over again. Say, how are they getting it? Well, some of them are getting it off their telephones because now they can hook up the internet and watch what they want. And you don't know how to control your internet at home, and they do. They're computer savvy. The chat rooms, MySpace. You say, you're old-fashioned. Thanks for the compliment. You say, I'm a visitor here. I'm offended. Sure didn't intend it that way. You ought to be impressed. But there's still an old-fashioned church that believes the old-fashioned way. You say, what are you saying tonight? I'm saying this. Girls, I love you. You boys, I love you. John, I love you, buddy. I think you know it. You boys down here, I love you. I'm your friend. You young people sitting in here, I love you. I'm going to fight for you. He said, but Moses, I feel like you're fighting against me. Well, let's figure out who's on the wrong team. Amen. Casey, I love you. Rachel, I love you. Billy, I love you. The Kidwell boys, I love you. Young people sitting up here in the balcony, I love you. Philip, I love you. George, I love you. JV, I hate you for stealing my daughter. Young people, I don't want you hurt. Every spiritual Christian, every spiritual adult in the house would say that man is trying to help those young people not to destroy their lives. I do it in such a way that it keeps your attention. You say, it puts me on edge. Good. I hope it'll bring you over the edge. A young man that sparked a revival. Sparked a revival. You know something? I can tell you one young lady and one young man that's not been right with God for the 5.5 years I've been the pastor here. You say, how do you know? When you spend your whole day, all day long, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days for the last 32 years with people, it's not real hard for you to figure out when it is your job to help people get right with God when somebody's not. It's what I do. You've never, never come over, and I don't have you for much longer. I'm going to lose you. You're going to rebel your way right out of the church. You'll go out and become a flunky in the world. And one day you'll probably come crawling back all beat up saying, preacher, I wish I would listen to you. I beg of you, listen to me now. Listen to me now before it happens. Listen now. Listen now. A youth that brought a revival to a whole country for 40 years. 40